Welcome back to another episode of Vanguard Radio. I'm your host, J. Richard Jones. We've got a lot of interesting topics to get into today. We're going to talk about hacking defense industry strategy. It's really a fresh look at global trends. But first, to set the scene for our guest who's joining us today, our guest is from Collins Aerospace. And they have had a big role and commitment with the Department of National Defense MIND program. They've teamed up with Carleton University, Norman Patterson School of International Affairs, with the support of MINDTAX to conduct a 2.5 year long research endeavor on the impact of emerging technology on defense policy. This is really interesting because there are a lot of threats that we have to prepare for in the future. This joint effort supported the professional growth of graduate level interns who are going to be the next generation of defense experts. And the program and the partnership ranged from a few months to the full duration. The project examined key emerging technologies, including interoperability, connectivity, C4ISR connected battle space capabilities, and so much more. Our guest also was a platinum sponsor at the recent event C4ISR 2022 and beyond. So without further delay, I'd like to welcome Emma Palamesi. She is Senior Director of Global Strategies for Collins Aerospace. Welcome to the show, Emma.
Hi there. How are you?
Oh, very well. Boy, there's a lot to get into, and I believe you and your team probably spoke quite a bit about some of these areas at the recent event. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. We had a good opportunity to chat with Alicia Datzman on our team.
Oh, wow. That's great. Yeah. From what I understand, that event was quite a success. So why don't we jump right in then? So Emma, what are the main drivers of C4ISR capability and development?
So from my perspective, if you look at the emerging threats from near peer, China, Russia, and so forth, we've got to do things differently. And so if you look at what they're trying to do with the connected battle space, right, connecting every sensor to every shooter, you know, in sort of that ideal state and being able to enable that sense, make sense, act, CONOPS. We've got to start doing things differently. So looking at joint operations, looking at alliances, looking at how we fight in the future, leveraging all of the capabilities from a C4ISR, a really important piece of what we're trying to drive within Collins and also within the broader defense community.
Emma, how important is it to be able to collaborate within industry and to explore new ways to prepare and innovate for some of these threats that are coming along?
Yeah, so that's huge, right? If you think about the traditional problem set, right? We had a really well-known set of adversaries. We understood the technologies. We understood the requirements. We're in a world now where we're on a steep learning curve, right? And what we've got to do is figure out how do we leverage best of breed? How do we leverage innovation happening from small companies to pull in AI, ML, cyber capabilities that may have been developed for a commercial application, but we can leverage on the battlefield? It really is important also to collaborate with our defense customers, right? In a world where we don't have the answers, we've got to go and take an agile mindset to kind of figure it out together. And so that collaboration is something that I think is so key to figuring out this next near peer threat environment for us.
I think it is too. I mean, Collins Aerospace is a pretty big global contractor, but your willingness to kind of work with and gather ideas, knowledge of the village, so to speak, and that nobody has the monopoly on good ideas is going to help to assist with the preparation for the future and with that an innovation.
Yep, I completely agree.
So what are the emerging technologies with disruptive impacts?
So, you know, let's talk about data, right? You think about connecting sensors to shooters, there's a huge amount of data on the battlefield. So how do we make the right data available in the right form, whether it's data fusion, AI, machine learning, in a way that's a usable set of data? And I think there's a whole thread around autonomy, AI, machine learning. I think there's also then general software capabilities, whether that's, a cyber application, whether that's apps in the cloud, all of those become really important to enabling that, data fabric that has to exist in connected battle space.
Yeah, I believe that. And it's just emerging and developing so fast. But what about the traditional defense industry? How can they best adapt?
So that's a fantastic question, right? If it kind of goes back to that agile mindset and that agile approach. And so I think there's an adaptation of collaboration, right? We talked about that. How do we bring in best of breed? I think it's also understanding how these new technologies relate to our core products. So what does AI mean for our set of sensors or radios and so forth? How do we enable that software layer on top of, we're a traditional hardware company, right? What does that software layer mean for us? And so that's part of that transition. It's also part of why it's so important to reach out of our four walls, because we don't have all of those answers. And so how do we bridge those capability gaps or that knowledge gaps in a way that really helps enable, what our defense customers are trying to go do? There's also a whole thread on acquisition, right? It's not just the technology. It's also how these things are acquired and being able to make sure that we're staying pace with what our customers need.
Yeah, for sure. I can imagine that would be pretty competitive. As the title says of the show, Hacking Defense Industry Strategy, a fresh look at global trends. Emma, what are some of the lessons learned from around the world that you're seeing?
So, I think there's some really interesting use cases in terms of how do we experiment and demonstrate capabilities earlier. So, historically, from a U.S. perspective, we would engage in a large NRE program, we would deliver something on requirements. And I think a lot of our international counterparts have been more in this, let's demonstrate, let's prototype, let's experiment to figure it out. And I think that's part of what the lessons learned that we can bring in, to the U.S. and also leverage within Canada to say, okay, how do we go figure these things out in that demonstration model? The other thing is, I think it's really interesting to look at how early stage technology is invested, right? How do those things actually get seeded and invested in so we can make sure that we're enabling the next generation of technologies, whether that's things happening in Europe in the European Defense Fund, whether it's the DIU in the US or DARPA, how do we take that best of breed? And how do we bring that to a global community to help drive innovation?
It's funny because the last 2 years have had so much change go on, especially with this horrible virus. There's been innovation that's come from that as well. And it's always important for industry and government to really work together and collaborate. But do you think why now is there so much urgency around having more collaboration between industry and government?
I don't know that now is any different than a couple of years ago. I think what we finally have woken up to is it's an imperative. It's not a nice to have. Right. I think that we've come to a realization that in a global environment, that leveraging alliances and leveraging interoperability means you have to collaborate in different ways and actually pull technology from different places. I think that was the reality several years ago, and maybe we just didn't put enough heft behind it. But it is certainly meaningful now, particularly given some of the threat environment that we're facing.
Speaking of, in terms of Canada, what are you seeing as your observations for Canada? How are we doing?
So what's interesting about Canada is the importance in that ally view, right? In that coalition setting where you guys typically deploy forces. And I think there's an interesting set of capabilities that you guys have in Canada in terms of AI, quantum, software, cyber. How do we bring that to that coalition view? How do we make sure that you guys are staying pace with modernization priorities to play in that alliance and interoperability conversation? So I'm really interested to see how Canada leverages their capabilities in that peer relationship setting.
Emma, along with some of the trends going globally, what are some of the emerging needs of defense departments around the world?
Yeah, I think if we look at it from that sensor to shooter, the, you know, sense, make sense, and act, one of the key things that we have to enable is operations in the multi-domain, right? We can't just have airborne assets isolated as airborne assets. You have to be able to connect a space sensor to a tactical unit on the ground, and you've got to leverage the airborne layer for additional data, you know, fuse that data in a meaningful way from all of the domains. And I think in that way, it does change the game of what that future fight looks like for us. And so that data sharing, the interoperability, making the data meaningful. So leveraging some of those commercial technologies where they understand how to take data, fuse, and apply a layer of smarts to it, I think really then enables that connected battle space.
You've been listening to Vanguard Radio. Our topic today has been a very interesting one, hacking defense industry strategy, a fresh look at global trends. Our special guest has been Emma Palmacy, Senior Director of Global Strategy Mission Systems with Collins Aerospace. Emma, I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Sure, thank you.
The views, information, or opinions expressed during the Vanguard Weekly Podcast Series, CGE Weekly Podcast Series, Vanguard Radio Podcast, and CGE Radio Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not represent those of Vanguard or any affiliated media products, their employees, or owners. Vanguard Magazine, Canadian Government Executive Magazine, and its affiliates are not responsible for and do not verify for accuracy any of the information contained in this podcast series. This podcast may not be copied or distributed without express written approval of Promotive Communications, Inc., PCI. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute this podcast without consent from PCI. PCI assumes no liability for activities in connection with this podcast or for use of this podcast with any other website, computer, or playing device.